I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Welcome to another program, It's a Good Life. This program originates from Fruitland Park, Florida. And I'd like for you to write me today and let me know that you're listening to the program. If it's been a blessing to you, write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. And even if it hasn't been a blessing to you, if maybe you heard something that you disagree with or something that you would like to speak to me about through a letter or whatever, write me today, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. You can also contact us through our website, lrwm.org, lrwm.org. On that website, you can leave a prayer request. We'll be glad to pray with you for your prayer needs. We'd like for you to share with us also any answered prayers that you have received. We want to rejoice with you in what God is doing for you in your life. Now today we want to look in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53. In that chapter, we're going to read with verse 1, and it says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Man today, as in the past, seems to be overlooking the greatest individual who ever walked the face of this earth. I'm not talking about a president. I'm not talking about a dictator. I'm not talking about someone who has a lot of money. But today I want to look at the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was the greatest person who ever walked this earth. The deepest insight into Calvary, where Christ was crucified, is not to be found in the Gospels, but in the prophecy of Isaiah, written more than 700 years ago. 700 years before the event occurred, the birth of Christ. The strange unbelief of men is seen in verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 53. It says, "Who hath believed our report?" When these words were penned down, remember this was 700 years before the birth of Christ. And now we look back some 2,000 years ago as his birth took place. There are still those men and women who just really can't see Jesus. They don't know who Jesus was. All they may believe that he was a great prophet. They may believe that he went about preaching, but they really have not had contact with him. But notice the strange unbelief of men. Who hath believed our report? Why should we doubt the report that has been given of Jesus throughout the Scriptures? Because first of all, he fulfilled every Scripture to the letter. If you believe the Bible, you must believe the report that God has given of his Son. Notice he was born in Bethlehem according to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Then in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 and 6, we see that Jesus was born of David's seed. It says there in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." And then in verse 6 it says, "And Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon, of her that had been the wife of Urias," or Uriah. So we see that Christ would be born in Bethlehem, according to Micah 5:2. Christ was the seed of David, according to Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 and 6. And then we see that he was foreseen by Abraham, because in John chapter 8 and verse 56, the Bible says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Later on, we read in the New Testament how that, and in the Old Testament, how that God looked upon Abraham and said that he counted his faith. He looked at Abraham through Abraham's faith, and through faith, Abraham was justified in the sight of God. By faith, Abraham believed God. And then we see that Christ's coming was prefigured by Moses. In Numbers chapter 21, verses 6 through 8, the Bible says, "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.'" We see there an indication, or a reference, if you would, a prophetic reference to the Lord Jesus Christ as he would be lifted up on the cross. And all of those people throughout the ages who have looked to that cross and looked to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's not the cross that we look to. It's the Lord who was on that cross. The Lord gave his life for us. He gave his life for this lost and dying world, that whosoever would call upon his name could be saved. Then we see the miracle-working Savior. In Isaiah 29:18 it says, "In that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness." The life of Christ is portrayed and exhibited through the things that will happen in the millennium. The millennial reign of Christ. Now, we read in Isaiah how that he would be the king. Someone has said, "Well, he's not the king. He is not the king. He is not the king of the Jews." But yet we read before he was crucified that placed upon that cross was the heading, "King of the Jews." And this is where so many people back in Christ's time, his people, the Jewish people, failed to see that he is the king. He would set up his kingdom. He did not come to set up his kingdom at that time, but he came to seek and to save those who were lost, and they missed it. They didn't realize, although they had all of the scriptures pointing to this, towards his millennial kingdom, they missed the fact that Jesus would come one day and set up his kingdom upon this earth. And so many people have their eyes on something else today other than the Lord Jesus Christ. "Where's the promise of his coming?" they'll say. "Since time began, someone has said that Jesus is coming back." "Well, I haven't seen him yet." Well, maybe you haven't seen him because you've never trusted him and asked him to come into your heart. Maybe you don't know him because you have never trusted him to save your soul. Now, the Bible says that to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And the Bible teaches us that once we ask Jesus into our hearts, that our eyes will be opened in order to be able to see those spiritual things that God has for us. Notice with me in John chapter 12, verses 37 and 38. "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah," or Isaiah the prophet, "might be fulfilled, which he spake, 'Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?'" Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1, our verse that we're looking at today. Well, we see that even though miracles was Christ performed miracles during his day, people still didn't believe. We have his word today in the form of the Bible. And there are still people who do not believe upon him. Well, how do we believe on someone that we have never seen? We believe on him through the faith that God has given us. The Bible says that if we look into the Word, if a person reads the Word of God and realizes that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin and that He lived a sinless, perfect life, that He went to the cross and He died, and that after He was buried, He rose from that grave after 3 days. And you say, how can I believe something like that? You believe it through the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God will speak to your heart. The Holy Spirit will work in your heart to help you understand that Jesus is the Savior, and you can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ even today by receiving Him right now into your heart. In verse 2 of Isaiah 53, it says, "And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Well, the arm of the Lord is an interesting expression. The arm, the strong right arm of a mighty man. In Exodus chapter 6, it talks about that. In Psalm 8:3, it says, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained." God, it is pictured as creating the things with His fingers. How much greater is it when His arm is revealed, that He reaches down for a lost and dying world and says, "Come unto Me, all you that work and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Lord in this verse in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 2 says, "The Lord." In verse 1, it says, let's read the verse again, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" The Lord, here is the covenant name of God for Israel. The arm was revealed to Israel by the Lord. And to Israel again, He spoke in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 19, "The great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, and the mighty hand, and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out." Jesus is reaching out to you today if you've never trusted Him as your Savior. He's reaching out to you today if you've trusted Him as your Savior and you've gotten away from Him. He wants you to renew that love once again that you have for Him because He saved you. And He wants you, dear person, today, if you've never trusted Him, to ask Him to come into your heart. Bow your head right now. If God's spoken to your heart, don't do it. If God has not spoken to your heart, but if He's spoken to your heart today, bow your head where you're at and say, "Lord Jesus, I don't want to die and go to a devil's hell, but I want to go to heaven to be with You. Thank You for dying for me on the cross and raising from the dead. I receive You as my Savior right now." If you'll pray that prayer, Jesus will save you. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you are saved, if you've trusted Him as your Savior and you've gotten away from Him, ask Him, "Lord, forgive me. For He is faithful and just." He will forgive you. He's waiting for you to come back to Him. He's never left you. He wants you just the way you are. "Lord Jesus, forgive me for failing You. Forgive me of my sin in Jesus' name." Well, once again, it's been good being with you today. And let me remind you to look at our website today, lrwm.org. Join me again at this same time next week, when you will hear the theme song, "It's a Good Life." May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.